Today is Pentecost. God uses his annual holy days to remind us of our need to rehearse his plan of salvation. You see, God wants to keep that plan in the forefront of our minds. It is a simple and an elegant plan. And that plan has been hid from the foundation of the world. In Colossians 1:26, it says, if you turn to Colossians 1:26, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. The question I have is, what needs to be made manifest? Well, before we read any further, and I spoil the surprise, I want to take you down a trip on memory lane. Do you remember the day that you were baptized? Do you remember much about it? Some parts of it for me are hazy. But there are certain things about the day I remember. Do you remember being dunked in the water? Do you remember being raised from the watery grave, picturing Christ's resurrection? Do you remember right after that, the minister laying his hands on you and praying that you receive God's Holy Spirit? Well, again, for me it was a blur. How about for you? But I bet there's one thing on that day I'm sure all of us do remember feeling that have been baptized. I bet there wasn't a day that you felt so clean before God. I bet you felt like a crystal glass that had just been washed and dried and held up into a bright light, and you just feel so good. You just sparkled. Well, you know, on that day, because you had the laying on of hands in the prayer, you did receive a remarkable gift. You received God's Holy Spirit. And that's what the day of Pentecost pictures. Receiving God's Holy Spirit. The church receiving God's Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, verse 38, one of the key focal points in the Bible, Acts 2:38. Peter says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." See, the Holy Spirit is a gift. It's not something that we earn. And as someone tried to at one point buy it with money, it's not something like that. It's something that God gives. It's something that God gives after repentance. It's something that we do, but only after God calls us and grants us that repentance. And then he gives his Holy Spirit to us. A remarkable gift. Again, it's nothing that we do that earns it. Now remember that sparkling glass on the day that you were baptized? That sparkling crystal glass? Well, you see, we should regularly feel like that. I know most of us don't and don't think of it that way, but you see, when we repent and confess our sins before God, the same thing that happened on the day of your baptism is what happens when you repent. God uses Christ's blood to cover us in our sins. They're gone. We don't need to remember them. We don't need to fret over them. Our guilt has been wiped away. We are given life through Christ's resurrection. Now, remember my earlier question? The question of what needs to be made manifest, turn back to Colossians 1:27. In Colossians 1, verse 27, the answer is answered. To whom God would make known that what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what did you receive when you received the Holy Spirit? You know, many of us think and have come to the idea that when you receive this Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, it's kind of this nebulous thing. But Colossians 1:27 tells us what we receive. You see, when God gives us His Holy Spirit, Jesus is actually living in us. Remember these scriptures? There's other scriptures that back it up. Romans 8:10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So Christ is in us when we receive the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. On the day that we were baptized, and we had the laying on of hands, and that was performed, we experienced a type of a day of Pentecost. So on this day of Pentecost, we should remember that we received God's Holy Spirit and that we have Christ living in us. That's part of God's plan. Another important thing to remember about having the Holy Spirit is that with it, it gives us a relationship with God, a very special relationship with God. He actually lives in us. We become a begotten Son of God. A son that will be born. Not only a begotten Son of God, but, you know, at this point in time, there's all kinds of analogies that the Bible uses. You become part of the church of God. You become the bride of Christ. Well, see, the day of Pentecost pictures several things. If you remember in the Old Testament, in Exodus, and when Israel accepted the law, the covenant with God, Israel became married with God. And when the church received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when they waited for Christ, when they waited for the Holy Spirit, they received the Holy Spirit. And on that day, the church became betrothed to God. And betrothal is, in the Bible, is quite a different process than what we currently have. You know, what we currently have when somebody becomes, right now, you know, somebody becomes engaged, many times you can think of the engagement being broken. And if it isn't, then it goes into marriage. But at that particular point in time, betrothal, basically you became the expected to be wife of the person and of the man. And you waited until the father told you it's ready for you to go and make her your wife. You're getting things ready, like Christ is doing in heaven right now. Christ is preparing for his bride, as well as the bride preparing for herself, preparing herself for Christ's return. Again, it was a covenant. The day that you were baptized on this Pentecost, it was a covenant with God. Now, the interesting thing is that's a special relationship with God. He gives us His Holy Spirit. We can learn about Him. We can learn what the Bible teaches. We need to study it and make ourselves approved and put the words of God in practice in our lives. And sometimes doing this is, you know, scary because the Bible constantly reproves us and constantly shows us where we need to change, because that's how the bride makes herself ready. And sometimes what happens is because of this, we constantly have feelings of guilt or feelings of shortcomings. And so we want to hide, or we want to feel sorry for ourselves, or have self-pity, or go into depression, or many other things that we do as people. Now, I'll tell on myself a little bit, which I don't usually do, but you know, it's a personal practice of mine to get down on myself. Okay. Now, the thing is by doing that, you're partaking of the tree of good and evil. You're listening to what Satan wants you to do. Because what you're doing is you're getting guilt, and you're making that guilt decide how you're going to live. Now, I came from traditional customs and practices before I learned God's truth. And in that culture, guilt played a big part of it. But you see, God doesn't tell you to let guilt override you. God tells us to repent and not to carry around the guilt. The important thing that we need to remember is to look into God's Word, to learn what it says, and then try to practice what God says. Have Christ live in you. In 2 Timothy 1:7, here's what God says about that particular condition, about feeling guilty about things that you've done. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What that means is that when we repent and pray, God wipes the past clean. Like I said a little bit earlier, that crystal glass is now clean again, and it is sparkling. And we need to continue this process willingly, submitting to God as we learn, having Christ grow in us until His nature is in us. And God will work with us as long as we allow Him to work with us. And He'll mold us and He'll change us in every aspect of our lives. And we have each other because God also tells us to work together with each other, because there are things that we don't see and our fellow servants in Christ will help us to see and change. You know, the thing is when Christ was on the earth as a human being, before He left, He reminded His apostles and His peoples at that point in time that He was going to leave and He was going to give them something to be comforted with. Turn to John 14. Just a few scriptures here. See, when in God's plan of salvation, God gives us the tools so that we can have eternal life. God gives us the tools so that we won't fail. John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, yet in a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you'll see me, because I live. You shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So there's another scripture that says Christ is in you. God uses His Holy Spirit as a force, as a natural resource that you can call on. It's something that even the strongest man in the world, or because the strongest person in the world, the strongest man, without God's Holy Spirit, there's things that a man can't do on his own. In Isaiah 40, these are the things that God's Holy Spirit can do for you. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God does that through his Holy Spirit. It's a promise that God has made to all of us. Now, if God made it, again, if you start looking at the guilt aspect of things, and God tells you these things, there's no reason to hold the guilt. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does for us that's very, very special, Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul writes at this particular point in time, "In whom you have also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." You know, in God's plan, in giving us his Holy Spirit, he wants us to be, we're going to be born into God's family as literal sons of God. And by doing that, he uses that Holy Spirit to seal us, to give us the strength to go through our daily trials, to learn and to grow. Remember, it's a Holy Spirit of promise, and it's an earnest, but it seals us to God. It's something very special. Another aspect about the Holy Spirit, turn to Ephesians 4. I have a few scriptures here. Paul writes again, Ephesians 4, verse 21. "If so, be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You see, we're not to live according to the flesh. We're not to live according to the way we lived before we had God's Holy Spirit. We have Christ growing within us, showing us the way, and moving in that direction, ever changing. "Wherever putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be you angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." God says in James, bad water doesn't come from one stream. In other words, it's not the tree of good in life. Corrupt communication is all types of communication that isn't positive. And what I mean by positive is sometimes correction and reprimanding is positive because it shows you the way of life. But using communication, say with foul language or with language and cursing, that's corrupt communication. And we put those things out of our lives. Then he says in verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." See, that Holy Spirit is your link to God. It's your link to Christ growing in you. And by prayer and Bible study, meditation, the tools that God gives us, and by living His way of life, that seals us with God. But again, it's not something that we earn, it's something that God gives us. Finally, Paul says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be you kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." The Holy Spirit gives us strength, it gives us energy. It's the link between us and God. As you know, we've been taught, the Holy Spirit can be with you, in you, and on you. And even though, as a baptized member, the Holy Spirit is in us, by being on us and with us, gives us certain characteristics as well. But the thing is that Holy Spirit being in you makes you a son of God. Pentecost is a day that pictures a day of covenanting with God, a day that the church has become betrothed, a day that Israel became married to the God, Jesus Christ. But more importantly, church meant betrothed people of the church. And the bride is supposed to get herself ready. So don't forget that God gave us His Holy Spirit so that we can work in our waiting for Christ's return to become ready for Jesus Christ and His return by having Jesus live in us by using the Holy Spirit. And the day of Pentecost is an important day in God's plan. And again, He does that by giving us His Holy Spirit.